all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. We praise and we magnify your name, Lord, because you're good and your mercy endure forever. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you that you've redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed from the power of sin and darkness, that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. And I praise and I magnify your name, Lord, because you're good and your mercy endure forever. We exalt your name above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. And we bless you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your name, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. You are the Almighty God. You are a soon and coming King. We thank you for binding the strong men over this area, Lord God. We thank you for binding the strong men of mind control and mental illness in the name of Yeshua. We bind the spirit of depression and oppression in the name of Yeshua, God. And we pray that the power and the glory of the Lord would be revealed, that you would break forth in a great and a mighty way, that you would grant healing and deliverance in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for the healing power of the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord God, for driving out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for breaking the yoke. We thank you for breaking the yoke of oppression and depression in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for driving out every spirit of cancer in the name of Yeshua. Lung cancer, liver cancer, cancer of the esophagus. We come against you and we bind that spirit to come out now in the name of Yeshua. Kidney cancer being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. And Father, we thank you. And Lord, I thank you for those that are in need of financial miracles and financial blessings. God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would heal them, and thank you for making them whole. In the name of Yeshua, let the glory of the Lord be revealed in your precious and your mighty name. And Lord, let your glory be revealed. I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the precious and the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. As always, it's a blessing to be here with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. To the first time, this is God bless you. Thank you for tuning in Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher, give it to you straight with no sugar at all. I'll put my little disclaimer in there. If you struggle with something, I say pray, get on your knees and seek the face of God. As you know, you will hear me say this over and over again, that we are living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. Return of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is imminent. We need revival. You've heard me say this over and over again. We need revival. We need to see a demonstration of God's power and God's glory to be revealed in order for people's lives to be changed. You know, we're called to be life change individuals, to where we can share our testimonies with those that don't know Christ, and they can see that when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that there was a change in our lives, that we began to live fruitful lives. You know, saints, I'm just here right now. I'm just here. I as I see it and I read in the scriptures and I look in the word and I see what's taking place and what's going on, and I see that the Bible is being fulfilled. The end time prophecies and the things that were prophesied in Ezekiel and even in the New Testament, and seeing the falling away that is taking place. We in the body of Christ, saints, we got to get to that place. We got to press our way into that place, to where we are in a relationship with him, that we truly know him as our Lord and as our Savior. People are dying and perishing every single day. There are so many people who are dying and perishing who do not know him. And we got to do better, saints. We got to do better. We got to pray for our family members and our loved ones and our friends who don't know Christ, that their hearts would be open to hear and to receive the gospel, that they might accept him as Lord and Savior. You know, we get caught up in our world and our struggles and all the things that we're enduring and we're going through, where we lose sight of the mandate and who we're called to be as the people of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High God.
I encourage you to continue to say, Lord, my life is in your hands, and God, I want to be used by you in a great and a mighty way. We've been in this series, The Conflict, The Temptation, which we've been dealing with spiritual warfare and how powerful spiritual warfare can be, and recognizing the fact that the enemy is very subtle in his tactics and how he comes after the people of God and how he entices them to sin and to rebel and to disobey God. We need to recognize that when the enemy shows up, he comes. He comes at you hard. And so we in the body of Christ have to be equipped and ready to go and to fight and to resist every attack and strategy of the enemy, because he's coming after the people of God. There are so many people who profess to be in Christ. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to worship. We've done a very, very poor job of equipping the saints. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, saints, that we're supposed to equip the saints. And the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints and not to lord over them or to develop some type of movement or anything like that. But recognizing the fact that when the enemy shows up, he's coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And we have to get to the place where we're more militant in our praise and our worship. And then as we pursue and seek a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, that we walk in fellowship with him. Saints, you know, we finished up. We were talking last week in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14, and we were talking about how that the requirements for revival is repentance and turning away and seeking the face of the Lord and recognizing that we serve a God who hears prayer. We need more prayer and intercession to take place in the body of Christ. We need to be crying out, asking God to move and asking God to show up again. We need to be praying and asking God to forgive us for our idol worship. Forgive us for depending and trusting in the wisdom of man instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to get to the place, saints, where we say, okay, you know what, Lord? We've missed it. And God, forgive us. I want to see God move. We serve a miracle working God. We serve the Almighty God. There is no other. We are serving the one and true and only living God, who loved us enough to send his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And as a result of that, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The power of sin has been broken over our lives. And we need to get to that place to where we walk in a covenant relationship with him, that we know him as our Lord and as our Savior. Now, we want to recognize, saints, that in this particular time that we're living in, the enemy will have a conversation with you. He will try to get you to doubt who you are in Christ. And when the enemy is talking, we need to recognize that we cannot give in to his snares, because the enemy is seeking to bind your mind with deception. You recognize that the enemy is so powerful that he can cause you to overlook the consequences of the sin he is presenting so convincingly. There are always consequences for sin, often very devastating ones that can affect other people. We don't realize that our actions and our sin and our rebellion can impact other people. You see, if we allow the kingdom of darkness to entice and to deceive us, our sin will affect other people. We may quickly repent in brokenness and humility, and God will forgive you, saints, but the consequences will still unfold. We need to get into the scriptures and see what is the outcome of our sin over the generations and of those who yield to the temptations of the enemy. All we got to do, saints, is look back to Adam and look back to Eve. Abraham, Korah, David, the kings of Judah and Israel, and the religious leaders during Jesus' ministry, even Judas Iscariot and many others, a very sober thought. You see, as a son and daughter of the Most High God, saints, we must learn to resist the devil and his strategies. We must learn to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. And you know, it is amazing that when you look at the sin nature and the rebellious nature that operates and walks in individuals, when you had an encounter with God and you still walk in rebellion and disobedience, man, you're in trouble. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to walk through the scriptures today. And let's see what say of the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 32, you know, the Israelites, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, they had encounter after encounter after encounter with God. They knew that there was a God. When God came down on Mount Sinai, they had this encounter with him. They heard God speak. God gave them the Ten Commandments personally, but yet they still rebelled and disobeyed God. God, they saw God part the Red Sea. They went through the plagues. They saw the power of God manifested, and yet still they rebelled. In Exodus chapter 32, let's go to verse number 1 and let's see. Here, you're listening to straight from his word. It says that when the people, Moses went up to in the mountain to talk to God. Moses was always in the mountaintop communicating with God. And it says that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Get up, make us gods which shall go before us. For is this Moses the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? We don't know what has happened to him." Oh my goodness. And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears and of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me." And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made the proclamation, said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early in the morrow, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. How soon, and how many people have prayed them foxhole prayers? "Lord, if you just get me out of this, I'll do A, B, C, and D." They were in bondage and captivity. God raised up Moses to bring them out, to be the deliverer, to bring them out. And he brought them out with a mighty hand and with power and with authority. God came down on Mount Sinai and he gave them instructions. And he told them, these are the things. First, "I am the Lord thy God." "I am the Lord thy God. Worship me and only me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But you see, they were accustomed to idol worship. They were accustomed to being able to have something that they could see and touch and something to look at, because when we serve the Lord God Almighty, it requires us to live by faith and not by sight. You see, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe that he died and rose again on the third day. We have to believe in our heart that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father in power and glory. We have to believe that he is our faithful and our high priest interceding for us. We have to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit indwells us when we're born again. We have to live by faith in the New Testament, as a New Testament believer, to whereas God demonstrated himself, he revealed himself through mighty miracles and signs and wonders. And they had encounters with God. They were able to visit and see God's power and see God's glory, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day to lead and to guide them. They saw all these things. They experienced all of these things. Yet that when God brought them out of their bondage and their captivity, that sin nature that still rebels, that resides in individuals, it reverts back to the old ways and the old tactics. That's why you got to come out from that and release and renounce all of those old ways of mindsets of thinking and doing things, because it will hinder your relationship and your walk with God. It will cause a breach between you and God. And here, Aaron was trying to be a people pleaser. Aaron knew better. And he made his golden calf. And the Lord said unto Moses, oh my gosh, "Go, get you down, for your people which you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Now Moses up there chilling in the presence of God, just enjoying his presence, enjoying his glory. And God, knowing all things and seeing all things, said, "Eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God said, "Hey, you know what? The people that you brought out of Egypt, they've corrupted it." You see how God places the responsibility on the people who are called to lead his people. The same thing in the marriage relationship, how God holds the man, the husband, responsible for leading and guiding his household. You see, we serve a God of accountability. And we got to recognize that if we're not doing our part, then we're in trouble. And we can get in trouble with God. And I just love this conversation that goes back and forth. This is why, you know, when you read the scriptures, you can actually have fun reading the scripture, because it says, he says, "Go, get down, for your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt," he said, "they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and they've worshipped it and have sacrificed thereto it, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You know, after everything that God did for them at the Red Sea, here they're going to turn and go back and serve an image. The one thing that God hates is all forms of idol worship. God hates idolatry. We serve a jealous God. He said he will have no other gods before him. And God got angry with them. And look what he says. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, these people are stubborn. They stiff-necked. They're rebellious. And he says, now leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of you a great name. God said, you know what? Get out the way. You know, God is merciful and God is long suffering. But at the same time, when you look and see here in the Old Testament, when God says enough is enough, enough is enough. He said, I'll make up you a great name. God said, I don't need nobody. You see, this is the God that we're serving. This is what I've been trying to convey to you. God said, I can make a nation out of one person. He said, leave me alone. He said, God said, I'm not going to deal with this right now. And Moses besought the Lord and said, Lord, why are you so angry against your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Then you see, Moses said, no, God, these are your people. God, you brought these folk out. You just gave me an assignment. But you were the one that brought them out with a mighty hand. I was just the vessel that you wanted to use. You see, you get to the place in God to where you can have real conversations with God. You don't have to get into a religious position, posture, and use these and thous and thou and all that. No. You can have a regular conversation just like you're talking with any human being with God. Yes, you reverence his presence. You acknowledge that he is God. But you can just have a regular conversation and say, Lord, I'm struggling today. Lord, I'm not feeling it today. Lord, something ain't right. God, what's going on? Father, what's going on? Lord, why is this taking place, God? It's okay. You get to the place to where you have a relationship. Just like children can speak to their parents, you can go to Father God and say, Lord, I'm struggling. God, I don't understand. Lord, why is this taking so long? God, you know, a lot of times I tell folk this. A lot of times you don't want to know the why. So don't ask him. You know, there's one, it was a show I like to watch, and the brother said, why ask the question when you really don't want to know the answer? And I tell people a lot of times when they're going through, and a lot of times, I do say, one of my whys with God is, Lord, why is it taking so long? Because you're God. God, what's up? God, you spoke the world into existence. God, you said, let there be light. There was light. Lord, you said, let the waters come forth, and the waters come forth. So my thing, with my natural carnal understanding, God, you're God, and God, I know you. Why does it take so long? But then with this situation right here, he said, no. You brought him out, and then he began. Now here we see the man of God standing in a place of intercession for his people and for the people of God. Moses really didn't know these folk. All he knew was that they were in bondage. They were in captivity. And this is the place that every minister of the gospel, every pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist, teacher, when God has placed you over a group of people, you have to have a concern about their spiritual well-being and their relationship and their walk with God. Am I preaching the full counsel of God's word? And they are where they need to be at spiritually with God. And when they are straying and God begins to reveal that the people are not where they need to be spiritually, then I need to stand in that place in the gap for them and begin to intercede with God and pray for my people. You see, I believe this is part of the problem that we have in the body of Christ here in the United States of America, is that the pastors truly do not have a pulse for where their people are at spiritually, because they have fed them a man-centered gospel, to where that they're not in a relationship with Christ, and people are just, they're lukewarm. They're no threat to the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, they have no idea that these people are on life support, that these people are in need of a touch of God, that there are many of them are on the verge of receiving the chastisement and judgment of God because they have rebelled and disobeyed and they are worshiping other gods and they're falling out of relationship with Him. But you know, as I said, I'm not the typical radio preacher. And he says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. He says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom you have sworn by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven in all this land that I have spoken of. I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And you see, so what he did when Moses stand in the gap, and a lot of times when you're standing in the gap and you're praying and you're interceding for people, you have to use God's word. And he reminded God of his word and his covenant and his promises that he had spoken to those, to the forefathers. And a lot of times in order for God to move, we need to get to the place and say, okay, God, here's what your word declares. And when we're praying and standing and interceding for somebody that is on the verge and jeopardy of maybe perishing or experiencing the chastisement and judgment of God, God, remember your covenant. God, remember your word. You see, God's word is true. And that's why we speak God's word. We pray God's word. We pray the scriptures. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do to bring the change. And as Moses was standing in the gap and interceding for these stiff-necked, rebellious, stubborn people, he moved God because God is a God of covenant and God holds true to his word. Whatever God has spoken, and when God enters into a covenant, God never breaks his covenant. We, the people, we break covenant with God through our rebellion and our disobedience and our unbelief. This is where when we know that we've read in a promise in God's word and God has spoken to us to where we have to hold on to that and do not allow the enemy to steal the word that God has spoken in our heart and spoken into our spirit, but be vigilant and be steadfast. And Moses stood in the gap and he interceded to the point to where it says in verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people, because God was getting ready to wipe them out. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God that you don't hear about in the New Testament because we're under grace. And thank God for grace. Thank God for the blood of Yeshua. Thank God for what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. Thank God that he laid down his life for us and that he willingly paid the penalty for sin, which delivered us from the power of sin and broke the power of the enemy over our lives, because saints, we were in bondage. We were perishing. We were on our way to hell. The reason I worship him today is because he died for me on the cross at Calvary. He redeemed me. The power of sin has been broken over my life. I have a new life in Christ Jesus, and we have to get to the place to where we say, Lord, any idols that are in my heart, remove them, destroy them, bring them down. God, I do not want anything or anyone to cause a breach between me and you, because God, you love me so much that you gave your very best for me, that I might live, that I might have life and have life more abundantly. Saints, be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers that the Spirit of God moves you and bless us financially. Please be obedient to the Spirit of God. Know that Yeshua is Lord's return imminent. Pray for your family members and your loved ones, that their hearts will be open to hear and to receive the gospel. Saints, be ready because he's coming. His return is imminent. And be diligent and steadfast in prayer and seeking his face. And know that God loves you. God gave his very best for you. And you are redeemed. And the power of sin has been broken over your life. And for those of you that don't know him, ask him into your heart. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Remember, Yeshua is Lord. His return is imminent. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word. with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.